Okay, so now Malacha Hashem Zrich LeGufa. This is the next point in our line. Again, starting from Misasek. Sorry, again, Shegeg was mistake. He missed. He doesn't know it's Shabbos. Doesn't know it's Aser. Misasek. Then we went on to Darash Shem Eskaven, and now we are on to Malacha Hashem Zrich LeGufa. Malacha Hashem Zrich LeGufa. What is that? The words literally translate as it's a malacha. It's one of the 39 prohibited acts that a person does, but she'ena tzrich legufa. It's not needed legufa for its own purpose. So what is that? Let's see how the Rishonim explain this. The Mishnah in source number one says as follows: Hamaytzi oichlen pachais mikashira bekli. A person takes out food. Again, I don't want to spend too much time talking about haitzah. We're just trying to bring out the points from this Mishnah. Person carries something outside less than the shear. It's less than the shear that would be mechayiv him for carrying pater afal akeli. He's pater on the kli. Why? Shakli tfeilalei. The kli, the vessel that's holding whatever it is inside this kli, since whatever is in there is too small to violate Shabbos for it, the kli itself is going to be batal to the kli, to whatever's inside. Mishnah gives a few examples. It's a chai b'mita. A person carries a live person outside on a bed. Pater afal amita. You're pater for carrying that person out on the bed. Why? Because when a person carries a live person, there's a concept called chai noisei esatzmai. A live person carries himself. So a person's pater. It's not mutter, but he's pater from bringing a karban. So therefore, since the person's on the bed, there is nothing more valuable than a person. So if he's pater for carrying the person, the bed itself is tefela to the person. The bed is going to be batal to the person who's not chayit for carrying the bed. Why shamita tefela? Because the bed is tefel to him. And this is the line that's important. Es hamesa, they're all important, but important for today's topic. Es hames b'mita, a person carries out a dead person on a bed. Chayiv, he is chayiv for carrying out that bed with the person, with the dead person on it. And at the end of the Mishnah, the Mishnah writes, Rabbi Shimon Paitzer, Rabbi Shimon says, you're potter. Says Rashi. Rashi writes in source number 2, Afil b'mei shalim, even with a whole dead person. Why davi malacha she'en etzrich legufa? It's malacha she'en etzrich legufa. So Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion, the same Rabbi Shimon who was matir, a davar shem eskaven, he says, you are potter for carrying this dead person outside. He explains, what is it? V'chol molacha she'ena tzricha legufa. You don't need it for itself. Ela l'salka me'alav. Just because you don't want this thing here, havi molacha she'ena tzricha legufa. That's how Rashi understands it. Now it's important, two very important points to make. Number one, Reb Shimon didn't say mutter. Shimon did not say that it's mutter for a person to violate Shabbos through malacha shein tzrich legufa. That's number one. It's only pater. It means pater from bringing a carbon, but it's aser to do it. The second important point is to understand what's going on here. Rachmana Litzlan, there's a family who finds that somebody in their home died on Shabbos. And they don't want that dead person in the house on Shabbos. So what are they going to do? They're going to carry the dead person outside of the house. So it shouldn't be there. Now, generally speaking, when it comes to haitzah, we're on the second page. We just started this topic. Generally speaking, when it comes to haitzah, a person carries something. Why does he carry it? He carries it because he wants to bring it somewhere. Someone is going to someone else's house for a suda. He wants to bring wine. So he takes the bottle of wine from his house. His goal, what he's trying to do here, is he wants to transport the bottle of wine from his house to his friend's house. In this case, it's an interesting case because he's carrying something. So if there's an Erev, obviously there's no problem. In the case where there's no Erev, so carrying that bottle of wine from your house to the other person's house is a violation of Shabbos. You're Mimchal Shabbos by carrying, if it goes from Shus HaYachad to Shus HaRabim, it's a Dairaisi, you have a Kira and a Hanacha. That's a real case of Chilul Shabbos. Now a person carries this dead body outside. He's not carrying it because he wants the dead body outside. He just doesn't want the dead body here. He's trying to eat the Shabbos Suda, right? So he wants the dead body away. So he carries it. Rashi says the point is, the term that is used is siluk mafriya. Something's bothering me now. I don't want it here. So what I do is I carry it out. It's the opposite of a normal case of Haitzah. Normally by Haitzah, I want this thing to accompany me wherever I'm going. So I carry it with me and I bring it there. Here. trash is also a good example. I carry something because I don't want it here. I don't want the trash here. I don't want the trash unless I carry it outside. So if I were to carry it in a case where it would be Chilul Shabbos, so Rashi says that would be Melacha She'en Tzrich L'Guf. I don't need it to be there. I just don't want it to be here. That's the way Rashi understands it. Source number three, Tosfos, he writes as follows. Nira L'Ri, the Melacha She'en Tzrich L'Gufa, Kari, Kisha Oysa, Melacha, So this text is on Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph in Maseches Shabbos, and over there he writes something slightly different. He says that whenever a person violates Shabbos, in order for us to be mechayiv him, he needs to violate Shabbos exactly the way that they did that malacha in the Mishkan. If you're going to vary from the way that they did it, that's Melacha She'en Tzrich L'Gufa. So that's really what Tosfos calls Melacha She'en Tzrich L'Gufa. If you have a different motivation than what they had in the times of the construction of the Mishkan, so you're doing the same thing, but your motivation is different, so therefore, you're not Chayev. Just to read it, Nira L'Ri. Again, the Melacha She'en Tzrich L'Gufa Kari, the Melacha She'en Tzrich L'Gufa is called Kisha Oysa Melacha, you do a Melacha, V'ein Tzarech La'Oysa Yitzarech Ein Shai Tzrich La'Av Mishkan. You don't need to do that Melacha for the same reason they did it in the construction of the Mishkan. El Inin Acher, for another purpose. Ki Atzarech Shahaysa Melacha Nasis B'Shvil B'Mishkan Hu Guf HaMelacha V'Sherasha. So he explains, when they did something in the Mishkan, they needed it to be done with this. He gives an example. Lefizeh, asi kulu shap, everything makes sense. Haytzoas ha-meis, ein tzarach le-meis. You don't need the meis. Mishkan haytzrichin le-chafatzim, she-haytziyu. Right? Whatever they were carrying, what Moshe Rabbeinu told them to bring, they needed it. They needed it for the Mishkan. They didn't want it just out of their homes. Or the krushim. They needed to carry the krushim from one place to the next. Next case, tzad nachash. Shlo yishchen, a person traps a snake, doesn't want to get bitten. And it's tzarech l'nachash. He's not trapping it because he wants to catch a snake. He's not interested in having a pet snake in his house. He just doesn't want to get bitten by the snake. U'b'mishkan ha'yitzrichin l'tachash, u'b'chilazon. When in the Mishkan, where was trapping relevant? They needed to have certain animals for their skins. They needed to have the chalazim for the dye. But ultimately, they caught it because they wanted to have that animal. When a person traps a snake or a scorpion, he just doesn't want to get bitten. That's why he's catching it. So that's what Tosfos says. It's different than Rashi, albeit in a very nuanced way. Rashi says the point of Melacha She'en Tzrich L'Gufa is that all I'm doing is moving something away that I don't want. I am doing a malacha which ultimately is really here. I would rather, in other words, according to Rashi, the way I would say it is, I would rather not have had to come onto this situation in the first place. Now that it's here, I have no choice. I have to get rid of it. According to Tosfos, that's not really the parameter. According to Tosfos, the point over here is that I'm doing it and I want to do it, but I'm just doing it for a different reason than they did in the Mishkan. What's the halacha? How do we paskin? Melacha She'en Tzrich L'Gufa is chayev or patur. Again, nobody holds it's mutter. The question is, are you chayev or patur? Yehuda says you're chayev. Shimon says you're patur. How do we paskin? Rambam in source number 4, Hilchos Shabbos, Parak Aleph Halacha Zayin. Rambam writes, Kol Oysa Melacha B'Shabbos, Afa Pish Eni Tzarech L'Gufa Shal Melacha, chayev Aleph. Okay, he passes like Rav Yehuda. If a person, remember I mentioned Rav Chaim earlier, with regard to Davar Shemus Kav by Psik Reish Le'Nichalei, this is one of the places where Rav Chaim has to work this out, because the Rambam writes very clearly that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda by Melacha She'en Tzrich L'Gufa. A person violates Shabbos, he does it in the full fashion that the melacha is done, but his motivation is different, the reason why he's doing it is different. According to the Rambam, you're chayev. The problem is, in other places you find the Rambam seems to write that you are a potter, and therefore, that's basically what Reb Chaim does. He says, any one of those cases, he turns into a psik reish le'nichalei, and he says, Reb Chaim holds psik reish le'nichalei is going to be mutter. That's why we have, that's basically what happens. But ultimately, the Rambam holds that Melacha She'en Tzrich L'Gufa is chayev. The Ravid right there, in that same halacha, in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Shabbos, halacha Zayin, he writes, Omer Avram, Rabbeinu Chananel Zal, Pasek Reb Shimon Shupaiter. So the Ravid and Rabbeinu Chananel disagree with Rambam, and they say that you're potter for violating Shabbos with the Melacha Shein Shrich Lekufa. Now, in order just to go a little further with this, I'm just going to read to you from the Baal Amar. Baal Amar, he, Rav Zrachya Halevi, he wrote a pirush on the Rif, and often both him and the Ramban have their own running commentary along the bottom of the Rif, and often they argue with each other. So he explains as follows: Zehu Bior Hadavar. This is the Bior in the concept of Malacha Shein Tzrich LeGufa. Kol Shloish Mitesha Malachis Shehu Connected B'Mishkan. All 39 of us Malachis that they had in the Mishkan. Kulon Haya Behen Tzarech LeGufa. Every single one of them had their own inherent purpose why they were done. Chutz min hazayra v'habayrer shehu zayra hamaitz min hagayrin ubayrer hatzaris min hakri v'zehu ikar malachtan litchais hamaitz v'hatzaris. So he writes, every one of the other 39 of us malachas, they had a purpose in and of itself. Take Bishel. They cooked because they needed to cook. Haitzah, they carried because they needed to bring things from one place to the next. Tzaveah, son, all these things, they did these malachas because they needed to trap, they needed to dye something. However, when it comes to Bayer and Zera, Zera literally means winnowing. You throw it up into the air, and you have a fan blowing or something, you have a wind blowing, so it blows all the light chaff off to the side, and all the heavy stuff stays where it's supposed to be. So that malacha is done specifically to get rid of the psilus, of the garbage. Bayer as well. You want to get the rocks out. The malacha of Bayer was done specifically because they want to take out the rocks. I don't need the rocks. So what he's saying ultimately is, in Rashi's world, that malacha shein tzrich lekufa is, that I'm doing something which is a siluk mafrei, I'm removing something which is bothering me, that makes it patur koin to Reb Shimon, besides for two cases. Where in the Mishkan it was done, in that fashion, the Mishkan, the actual malacha was performed through this logic of malacha shein tzrich legufa. In such a case, you won't get your way out of it. All right, source number six. That brings us to source number six. It's Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Sadik Dalet Amud Beis. Hanotel tziparno zubazu. A person takes off his fingernails, I beshinav, or with his teeth, you know, either he uses his finger to take it off, I beshinav, or with his teeth, mechein sarai. So Mishnah goes to all types of hair that he has. Mishnah writes, Blazer mechayiv hacham ois mishum shvus. Blazer says, you're chayiv for taking off a fingernail, or cutting a fingernail, or cutting hair. Hacham oimrim, the Chacham say it's only a melacha midrabanan. The Gemara immediately writes, everybody agrees that if you're going to use a scissor to cut your fingernails off, a nail clipper to cut off your fingernails, you're chayiv. Use a scissor to cut your hair, you're chayiv. The question is, when you do it with your hand, in such a case, it's a bit of a shino, it's not the normal way of doing it. There's a machlekes between the chachamim and Rabbi Lezer if you're chayiv or if you are potter. Now, this obviously raises an issue. What's the malacha here, geizes? When they did geizes in the Mishkan, shearing, why'd they do that? Because they needed the wool. Most people who cut their fingernails are not trying to gather fingernails. Most people who take a haircut are not making a wig. You don't need the hair. So the question is, why would anybody be mechayev you? In other words, not even why anybody. The Gemara says clearly, if you use a keli to do it, everybody agrees you're chayev. So why? Why are you chayev for taking a haircut on Shabbos if you use a scissor? What's the malacha? Geizes, it's malacha shein tzrich legufa. I shouldn't say that it's going to be mutter, but why would one be chayev? Says Tosfos, Heinek Reb Yehuda de mechayev malacha shein tzrich legufa. Source number seven. You're right. According to Reb Shimon, it's not going to be nisur d'oraisa. Taking haircut on Shabbos, according to Reb Shimon, is nisur midrabanan. Okay, that's the way Tosfos learns it. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban writes over here, says that's incorrect. He writes, he's talking about Mila over here. Just skip to the second line. It says, a person does not need the fingernails. He doesn't need the hair. Malacha tzricha legufa nikras. It's considered tzricha legufa. And what he explained earlier is because you want that nail off. It's not just that it's a silik mafriya. You want to take that. The Ravash explains it a little bit better in source number 9. He writes. Ava Gaziza Heitz B'Mishkan, Gaziza was in the Mishkan. Shaloi Litzara HaTzemer V'Aseyer. He says, even Gaziza, shearing in the Mishkan, you didn't necessarily always do it because you needed the hair. He gives an example. Rak Litzara HaAr, sometimes they needed to clean off the skin of the tachash, of this animal, the tachash. They used the skin, the leather. It was colorful. They had to do Gaziza in the Mishkan to take off all the hairs. So why they do it? To clean it. So Gaziza often was done for the purpose of making the object that you're doing Gaziza to, making the object that you are sharing beautiful. So the same thing is true. You have a person, he's overgrown with lots of hair. You take a haircut and you make yourself look good. So it says this, according to the Rivash, the reason why you're chayiv for taking a haircut on Shabbos with a scissor is because you make yourself look beautiful. That's melacha tzricha legufa. Do we have a minion?
We have 10.
Okay, so we'll have to stop here. We'll have to stop here, but we're up to some very, very good juicy parts of Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. We'll continue next week.